Good morning and welcome to this online celebration of the Holy Communion. Whoever you are and wherever you come from, we welcome you. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Jesus said, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." The hymn, "Sweet is the solemn voice that calls the Christian to the house of prayer."
Almighty God,
to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets."
Lord,
have mercy on us and write these your laws in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God,
Almighty God.
Our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The Collect of the Seventh Sunday after Trinity. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft on our hearts the love of your name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and of your great mercy keep us in the same, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the second book of Samuel, chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See, now I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people Israel, and I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will punish him with a rod, such as mortals use, with blows inflicted by human beings. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for this morning, number 89, verses 20 to 37, which we shall say by alternate division of verses. I have found David my servant.
With my holy oil have I anointed him.
My hand shall hold him fast.
And my arm shall strengthen him.
No enemy shall deceive him,
nor any wicked person afflict him.
I will strike down his foes before his face,
and beat down those who hate him.
My truth also and my steadfast love shall be with him,
and in my name shall his head be exalted.
I will set his dominion upon the sea,
and his right hand upon the rivers.
He shall call to me, "You are my Father,
my God, and the rock of my salvation."
And I will make him my firstborn,
the Most High above the kings of the earth.
The love I have pledged to him will I keep forever,
and my covenant will stand fast with him.
His seed also will I make to endure forever,
and his throne as the days of heaven.
But if his children forsake my law,
and cease to walk in my judgments,
if they break my statutes,
and do not keep my commandments,
I will punish their offences with a rod,
and their sin with scourges.
But I will not take from him my steadfast love,
nor suffer my truth to fail.
My covenant will I not break,
nor alter what has gone out of my lips.
Once for all I have sworn by my holiness,
that I will not prove false to David.
His seed shall endure forever,
and his throne as the sun before me.
It shall stand fast forever as the moon,
the enduring witness in the heavens.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The epistle is from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles, by birth called the uncircumcision, by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall. That is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, so that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body, through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually, into a dwelling place for God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gradual hymn, "We Cannot Measure How You Heal." Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Mark, chapter 6, beginning at verse 30.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus.
The apostles gathered round him and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now, many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to a land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This is the Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What do you suppose are the most prevalent metaphors that we use for God? Likely, Father, King, and Shepherd are in the top three, if not the top three. There are, of course, hundreds of names and images in the scriptures for God. The sheer number of images present in the scriptures is enough to make the mind reel. That reeling is likely purposefully sought on the part of the writers to shake us from unduly attaching ourselves to one image or another. Now, having laid the case for looking at the less than top three images of God as a remedy for a below standard prayer life, we really ought to examine one of these top three, the shepherd. It is used over 1,200 times in the Bible in reference to God only. It's used many other times in the Bible to refer to actual shepherds, but for God, it is a very, very popular image. King and Lord, Lord over Shepherd, at around 2,500 and 6,500 uses respectively. First, we need to understand that these metaphors are simply that, metaphors. No one should think that God is an actual, literal shepherd. God does not own a shepherd's crook. God does not abide in fields with actual sheep. It is a figure of speech by the biblical writers to enable us to think about what God is like. But that's the thing. God is like a shepherd. God is like one who has a crook and knows how to use it. God is like one who abides out in fields with the ones for whom he cares. Metaphors like this work the other way around also. They are for us in our daily lives. we are meant to bring the metaphors with us, to carry them, as it were. The ancients who heard this language for God would then go about their business and daily lives, and, lo and behold, they would see a shepherdess. And if they were paying attention, they might think of God. They might see the shepherdess painstakingly caring for her sheep. They might see a wayward sheep being brought back into the field, perhaps forcefully depending on the waywardness of the sheep. And then they might be brought to the threshold of prayer and repentance over their own wayward ways. This is the power of figurative language for God. It can transform our daily lives into countless occasions for prayer. The problem, of course, is that most people in the modern era are unfamiliar with shepherding. Shepherding is a way of life in many parts of the world, but for the increasingly urbanized among us, shepherding is really just a quaint and sanitized notion. Then there is the whole problem that we have with this metaphor and where we stand in it. One of the hallmarks of our postmodern age is a suspicion of authority. We do not want a shepherd, which is probably why the image of king, lord and shepherd are so prevalent in the scriptures. Even though we don't want a shepherd, we still need one. Besides, let's face it, if you are honest, you have a shepherd of some sort or other. Go ahead. Get quiet for a moment. What are those forces and individuals in your life who call the shots? Who is the one who forms your life most fundamentally? It might be a desire for perfect health, to be financially secure. It might be to be successful or free. We all have these shepherds, probably many shepherds. But they are false shepherds because they cannot ultimately give what they promise. Each of us have these shepherds, and even though we think that we are free, we do in fact serve these shepherds. Bob Dylan, who was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature, wrote many years ago in his song, "Gotta Serve Somebody," that you, and I quote, "might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. You might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. You may be sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-sized bed. But you're going to have to serve somebody, yes indeed. You're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody." Unquote. This simply is a fact of life. Just as no one is an island, so is no one free from authority and these guiding influences. This is what arouses Jesus' compassion for the crowd today. They are like sheep without a shepherd. And he begins teaching them. Of course they had shepherds, but those false shepherds had led them to seek the real shepherd. So then, what are sheep? Since we are the sheep in this metaphor that we use for God, we ought to know. You know, do you not, that there are critics of the church who would call us disciples of Christ sheeple. It's meant to be a derisive term for the unquestioning following, not so much of Jesus, but of the culture warrior preachers. But in many ways, we act like sheep. We are sheeple. And the prayer book says, like sheep, we have gone astray. Sheep are not known for their intelligence, but they are quite bright in their own way. While they can easily get their little horns caught in briars or get lost, it seems that most of their brains are dedicated to their flock and their shepherd. In a flock, sheep will arrange themselves in concentric, overlapping circles of sheep with the strongest and biggest sheep on the outside and the youngest and weakest sheep on the inside. We could learn from these sheep in terms of being neighbours to each other. In addition to their ability as a good neighbour, the sheep is singularly focused on its shepherd. So much so that the sheep learn the voice of their shepherd, his scent, and even his silhouette upon the sky as the shepherd stands on a hill. The sheep learn somehow that this one shepherd, in however he calls to them, whether through sight, voice, or smell, is to be utterly trusted, and not only that, but all other shepherds are to be mistrusted, or at least sceptically investigated. Let's learn this scepticism from these sheep. Let's submit to all those so-called shepherds who would lead us to the test of the good shepherd. Do these things and people that we follow offer life and significance, or are they turning into a product? Are our shepherds leading us to life or to the slaughter? Go, be sheeple. Follow your one and only good shepherd who heals and teaches and then enables us to bring life and healing to our hurting world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We believe in one God.
We believe in one God.
The Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. We pray for the Church throughout the world, our brother and sister Christians in every land. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop, for this group of parishes, and especially for those recently confirmed. We pray also for the parish of St. Elizabeth Dundonald, and the rector, the Reverend Tim Anderson, and the curate assistant, the Reverend Thomas Murray. May your church make Christ known in the corridors of power and in the dark places of deprivation. Help us to be at one with each other in love and prayer and mutual support.
Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations of the world. Grant to the persistent problems of the troubled Middle East, South Sudan and Eritrea, the long-term solutions that can only come from international penitence, righteousness and love. We pray for all people threatened by starvation and ask for generosity, wisdom and international diplomacy needed to bring help in the present and well-being in the future. Have mercy also on all who are faced with distress and need following the recent acute flooding in Germany, Belgium, the Netherlands, Luxembourg and Switzerland. We ask that help may be given to them speedily and that this emergency may be turned to opportunity to strengthen the bonds of love and service which bind people and nations together. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, the Prime Minister Boris Johnson, the Secretary of State Brandon Lewis and the government. The First Minister, Paul Given, Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, and the Executive. Also, President Michael D. Higgins, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin, Tánaiste Leo Varadkar, and Government in the Republic. And also the people of France, following their 14th of July Bastille Day celebrations. Inspire us afresh today, that we who are weary may be encouraged, equipped, empowered, and excited about what you are doing amongst us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord of our relationships, shield our families from the assaults and fear of coronavirus and all variants. We pray for those who are living in fear. Fear of illness, fear for loved ones, fear of others' reaction to them. If we are ill, strengthen us. If we are tired, fortify our spirits. If we are anxious, help us to consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. May fear not cause us to overlook the opportunities of rest and refreshment over this holiday period. Keep us safe on the roads, whether we drive or ride or walk. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord of all healing, visit the afflicted with the assurance that their suffering will pass. Restore health to the damaged bodies and the troubled minds. Give skill, sympathy and resilience to all who are caring for the sick, and your wisdom in encouraging all to avail of the benefits of the vaccine rollout. We pray for all who are bereaved and grant them the assurance of your love. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Grant that the faithful may depart as joint heirs with Christ and share in his glory. Today, we especially remember Andy Fordham. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We do not presume.
We do not presume
to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies.
We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
The hymn, "Put peace into each other's hands, and like a treasure, hold it." Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dying
you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ.
As we eat and drink these holy gifts,
make us who know our need of grace one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and singing. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We being many are one body,
for we all share in the one bread. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Lord God, whose Son is the true vine and the source of life, ever giving himself that the world may live, may we so receive within ourselves the power of his death and passion that in his saving cup we may share his glory and be made perfect in his love. For he is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Almighty God, We thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. The hymn, Summer Suns Are Glowing. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.
We thank you for your presence with us throughout this service. Sunday next is the feast day of St. James the Apostle. There will be an online service on the parish website from 10 a.m.
in-church services will take place next Sunday in Annahilt at 10 o'clock and in Mara Hamlet at 12 noon. All services next Sunday will be morning prayer. Thank you.